Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Dave Festjuk from the Toronto Star. Al's Brothers Power Rankings a little bit later on in the hour. We'll tell you what he is ranking today. It's a bit of a unique angle. It's hockey-related. It has to do with the Northern Division, but it's not something we've done before in terms of the topic itself. So we'll catch up with Al's Brother in about 25 minutes, and Jack Armstrong will join us in about 5 minutes as well. Get his take on what we were talking about in the last hour, Zion Williamson playing at the Garden, his first time, him talking about playing in New York and the reaction to it, but how well R.J. Barrett's playing as well. And it was really about the Canadian content last night with the Raptors beating Oklahoma City, and Lou Dort has come out of nowhere really over the past 12 months.
Yeah.
In terms of putting his name on the map. Like, it was not a guy that was getting a lot of pub and a lot of love up north of the border, let alone throughout the NBA circles.
How about a guy who's an undrafted defensive specialist that reels off 21 points in the first quarter?
Not like, bad.
How's that for defense?
Yeah, that'll work for you, man.
That's pretty good.
He's had a great year, really. Like, he's really come on strong, and he's a guy that will absolutely be a part of the Canadian national team, right, and their plans, and have to believe Chris Boucher will be a part of that, and R.J. Barrett. And the disappointing part is that Jamal Murray's done and won't be there for the qualifiers.
Yeah, well, the intriguing part of, like, the Canadian national team is, we Canada still has to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, assuming the Tokyo Olympics are going to happen, which they say they are, so we'll take them at their word. But, you know, we're heading toward a world here, and Lou Dort was kind of, you know, very humble in talking about the national team yesterday, saying that he's looking forward to trying out for Canada's national team. And there was a time, Hayes, when NBA players, if they wanted to play for Canada's national team, didn't have to try out. But we're approaching a world here where there will be enough uptake from NBA players who are Canadian, where NBA players are going to get cut from this team eventually.
Yeah, you're right. If you get upwards of 20 plus, it's just the numbers alone will tell you that, right? Like,
right.
And we're already close to that. What are there, 16 Canadians in the league right now? I think maybe
14. That's the number.
Yeah, 14 or 16.
Enough people looking. Yeah, people looking at our young players, Hayes, like the high schoolers and even the pre-high schoolers, because we got a nice developmental system here that reaches down into the pre-high school years and identifies talent.
Right.
People are saying we could double that number in the next decade, you know?
And that's it.
And then it's like, how do you make the national team? And not going to be easy.
Well, and that's what they've always needed, because I think the national team had always been overlooked. It had been taken for granted. And, you know, I always looked at Steve Nash towards the end of his road. I don't think he helped when he decided I'm just not doing it anymore. And I know that a lot of people came to his defense and said he's given everything and he was there in Sydney. And that was all true. And I hate to always bring it back to hockey, but the fact is the Canadian national team for hockey has always been competitive, has always been victorious and successful, and has always been a dream. And never once did you see Gretzky say, I'm not interested in Nagano. He's like, if I can go, I'm there. If you're willing to have me, I'll do anything to be there. Yeah. I don't think it sent the right message when Steve Nash at the end was like, I'm okay.
And well,
I think it filtered down. I know that there were politics involved. And
it was,
all that.
It was political. I mean, I remember,
I get it, but it shouldn't matter. It should not matter. Yeah, the politics should not matter.
Well, politics do matter in pro sports and in international sports, Hayes. You know, they matter because, well, look, I mean, there was a lot of things going on there. You're right.
Of course.
I agree with your point to a large extent. Like, it did not help the program when the marquee player in your nation decided he was done with it. I agree with that. And by the way, that time coincided with him right at the height of his career. When he became a two-time MVP, he was not playing for Canada, and that hurt things. There's no doubt about that. But that's not the only thing that hurt things. There's been a lot of mismanagement over the years. There's been a cultural problem. To your point, we never had fostered that hockey mentality in basketball. But I would argue that right about now, we're as close as we've ever been to having that type of mentality.
Playing
for Canada.
I agree.
Is a non-negotiable for these guys.
And that's what it should. And it should be a fight. You know that. And that's just going to benefit the program if you get upwards of 20, 25 guys, even college kids, who might be able to put their names in the hat, so to speak, or be fighting for it. And you make them constantly think about it. Like, not make them. You want them to have that natural drive. Like, I got to fight to be a part of this team, and it's something I want to be a part of because we got a legit shot going to the Olympics or whatever at the FIBAs and making some noise. And now, you know, if all things are considered and all things are taken with the through the lens of health, they got a pretty good team right now. You know, like the Americans are always going to be number one, clearly. No one's going to compete with them. And there are other teams historically who have always put forth really quality international teams. I think of Spain, Brazil, Argentina. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason why Canada cannot legitimately go into a tournament and think we can win silver, right? And if a miracle happens, we win gold. Hey. It's not likely, but silver is a lot better than it ever had been, you know, when you consider past teams and what they were putting forth and the fact that they rarely qualified even for the Olympics.
Exactly.
So, you know, they're definitely in a better spot.
And it's not like the Americans never lose, right? The Americans have been known to have a hiccup here and there.
Yep, for sure. Here is our TSN Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Guys, I'm great. You know, you mentioned silver and gold. Was it Frosty the Snowman? Was it Burl Ives, right? The song Silver and Gold?
Yep, that's right. Aim high, man. Aim high, buddy. And we're feeling
good. Let's hear a few bars, Jack.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm a little out of practice right now. It's April. Give me November, and I'll be ready for the Christmas carols again.
Okay. All right. Well, we were just saying we're feeling, you know, patriotic after what we saw last night. The All-Montreal game featuring Boucher and Cam Birch and obviously Lou Dort. And what Dort's done over the past calendar year to put his name on the map has been truly incredible. And there's a lot of Canadian content in the NBA right now, and some really quality players.
No, it's great. It's great. And, you know, I've said it many times, the best is yet to come. I mean, there's been so much discussion about the Carter effect. You know, what happens now when you go beyond that and you look at the 2019 effect of the Raptors winning a championship? I'll never forget, like literally a month, not even a month after the Raptors won a championship, I was at a golf tournament in Halifax, and Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon were there, and I had an opportunity to chat with them. And all they wanted to talk about was the Raptors. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm excited to meet Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon, and all they want to talk about is the Raptors. And I said to them, I said, guys, if you were 5 years old, 6 years old, and the Raptors just won the title, and you had the choice between picking up skates and a stick or picking up a basketball and playing, what would you do? And they both looked at me and they said, that's a good question. And, you know, to me, I just look at what could come from that. And what, you know, last night was all about is kind of a part of that already. It's just, to me, it's just so exciting to watch. And there's so many good young Canadian players. And there's so many good young Canadian players we're not even talking about that are, you know, 11, 12 years old. Not only on the guy's side, but on the gal's side. And right. So to me, I just think it's really cool to watch. And last night, that first quarter in particular, to watch Dort and Boucher just go back and forth, to me, it's wonderful. It says a lot. And you look at the fact that Canada is number two in the world in representation in the NBA, and I think it could get better. I think it can get better from a standpoint of international competition. I firmly believe we should have a WNBA team in Canada. I firmly believe we should have a second NBA team back in Canada. I think that the opportunities for these kids are off the charts. And to me, I can't wait to see what next 10 years, next 20 years look like.
Yeah, well, that second NBA team, we know that David Stern, of course, the great commissioner of the NBA, who's now left us, always listed one of his great regrets as the NBA leaving Vancouver, Jack. But last night was a point that could be made that, hey, if you're going to bring one more team to Canada outside of Toronto, maybe it's a debate between it's out on the West Coast with Vancouver or maybe it's Montreal.
Dave, that's legit. You know, and I'd love to see the, you know, a second baseball team back. And there's been a lot of discussion about the Expos, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays and all that. Every time we play in Montreal and have a Raptors preseason game, it sells out. Now, it also sells out in Vancouver.
Of course.
And, you know, and to me, I think those are the two natural fits. And I don't think it would be one of those, you know, I think Seattle will get a team on expansion because it's a wealthy market and they'll pay a ton. And, you know, that'll go for over $2 billion. I'm sure there'll be another market. You know, will it be Vegas or something like that? Maybe it could be a Montreal. Maybe it could be a Vancouver. But at the very least, there'll be a few other markets in the NBA at some point in time from a relocation perspective that have to be considered. And I think a Vancouver and a Montreal, to me, make complete sense. And I would love to see it. And again, I go back to what I said before. I'm shocked that we don't have a WNBA team in Canada. I mean, it just stuns me. I did 2 years, and I loved it. I worked 2 years for MSG Network in New York with the New York Liberty when I first started with the Raptors, and I had a great time, and it's a tremendous league. And I'm shocked that a big market like Toronto or even Montreal or Vancouver doesn't have a WNBA team.
With Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst. So the Raptors have won three in a row. They have not had the toughest competition, Oklahoma City and Orlando, their past two games. Those are teams trying to tank, trying to bottom out. But it appears to me from afar, Jack, that there could be a disconnect here between the front office and the coaching staff, and I guess trickling down to the players, although Masai and Bobby would be the first one to tell you. The players are going to play hard. They should play hard. They're trying to win. Players are going out there. They want to win. They don't care about the draft, the lottery. It doesn't matter to them. But they got fined over the weekend. Lowry just keeps resting. OG's coming in and out. Siakam's in and out. I get the impression watching Nick Nurse and listening to Nick Nurse, he's a little bit thrown off and feels a little bit uncomfortable with having to be the one that has to explain it. And I'm not sure he's got an explanation. Or if the explanation is, hey, we're trying to lose here, he knows he can't say that on the record. What's your read from afar in terms of potentially a disconnect between management and the coach in terms of what they want to see happen here the rest of the way?
Well, first of all, that's why coaches sign long-term contracts and at seven figures.
Right.
So,
exactly.
With all due respect, and I love Nick, he'll be fine.
Yep. Yeah.
He'll be just fine. Everything will work out just fine. So it's all good on that end. Yes, you got to deal with the media and you have to answer those questions. But I learned this a long time ago as a coach and now in my second career as a broadcaster. You can only control what you can control. And as a coach, who is playing tonight? Who's healthy? And you coach those guys and you make no excuses and you keep going. And then as a broadcaster, I look at it. You know, people say, is Lowry playing? Is Siakam this one, that one? I'm like, hey, man, not my problem. You know, if those guys have five and we got five, I'm ready to roll, man. That's all I got to do. That's my job. And I'm not getting caught up in all this stuff. But, no, I get it. I think it's frustrating because people are poking the bear and they want answers and they want to know what's going on. And as a coach, you're kind of like the front man and you have to answer those things. And you have a great relationship with those people. And you want to be fair and honest with them. And at the same time, they know you're in a difficult position and you can't necessarily say all that you want to say. And it's via Zoom. And Dave, you know this first and foremost. You know, there's the in-person relationship on record, off record, versus yep. Zoom, where everyone's all in the room together. It's a different deal altogether. So I'm sure he would love to provide those folks with the true analysis of what's going on in a way that's professional, that protects everybody. But it's difficult in the climate that we're in right now. So you just do the best you can. But, you know, the reality is there's a lot of Raptor fans that are going, what are the Chicago Bulls doing? They're screwing all this up.
Right.
But, you know, right now, if the season ends today, the Raptors are in the play-in game. And, guys, I think you'll agree with me. I tell you what, if you have the four guys that sat out last night in Siakam, Anunoby, Van Vliet, Lowry, those guys have championship pedigree. They have rings on their fingers. If you're in a play-in situation, the last team you want to play is the Toronto Raptors, because in my opinion, now that they have Kem Birch and Gillespie, and again, these guys, I'm not talking about Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell here, the furthest thing from it, but they have not played all year, with a five-man. If they had Serge Ibaka this year with this team, they would be a top-four seed right now. I'm telling you, if Ibaka's on this team and they're healthy, they're a top-four team. So they're good. Their problem has been, obviously, injuries, the COVID shutdowns. But a lot of it, too, has just been their five spot has been all over the map. And with all due respect to Aaron Baines, he's not the answer anymore in the modern-day NBA. With these two mobile athletic bigs, they do enough for the other four guys to shine. I don't want to play them. And I tell you what, if they keep advancing, I think it would be difficult for them to beat a Philadelphia or a Milwaukee or a Brooklyn. But I tell you what, they'll go down fighting. They'll go down fighting. And, you know, they've already beaten Milwaukee twice on the road. They've beaten Brooklyn on the road. They've beaten Philadelphia. Those teams don't want to play Toronto. So, yeah, you know, right now they're kind of you don't know who's playing every night. But, man, oh, man, if they ever ramp up, watch out.
So, fun story out of New York last night, Jack. Your beloved hometown where Zion Williamson showed up and you know, reeled off his usual – you know, highlight reel of spectacular plays in a loss to the Knicks, and then was asked after the game about, hey, the obligatory question, hey, Zion, how much do you love playing in New York? To which the always infectious Zion, you know, answered honestly and was very complimentary of how much he enjoyed playing in New York, which led to the obligatory headlines of, hey, Zion wants to play for the Knicks down the road. And even though he's, you know, as Hayes put it earlier in the show, he's going to be a New Orleans Pelican this year and five more because they got him under team control. What do you make of that? And what do we make of New York in general when they do this to us?
Dave, you know, you've been in it a long time and you'd agree with me. I listen to a little bit of ESPN and ESPN is the all time worst because they're a rights holder. And they're concerned about their ratings. So they are definitely in the business of, no doubt, trying to steer guys to the markets that give them the most favorable ratings and help their network. It's a scam. And nobody calls them on it. And the league's in bed with them. And to me, it's a joke. And, you know, how about like when Zion Williamson goes to Salt Lake City? Sacramento, right? Nobody's asking that question.
Yeah.
And no, ESPN isn't jumping on that, God forbid, right? I mean, come on, let's be serious. Nobody's all excited about Memphis. But, I mean, it is a joke. And we are not looking after all 30 of the partners in the league equally. And there is way, way, way too much emphasis on L.A. and New York. And the need for that, and it's good for the league. The last time I checked, the Raptors won the championship 2 years ago, and the league did just fine. They made a you-know-what amount of money, and everybody did just fine. So, no, I don't like it. And I think it's passive-aggressive tampering, and there are a lot of people involved in it. And the Knicks don't have to do anything about it. And yet the Knicks have been a complete gong show for years, and they can't get out of their own way. Now, obviously, I'm a Tibbs is a friend, and I respect him, and he's done a good job there.
Sure.
And I, you know, but the bottom line is, for years their track record says, why would you ever want to go play there? I mean, actually, the Nets are a better run franchise than the Knicks, so. To me, I just think it's one of those things, and you put a kid in a bad position, and that storyline is going to follow him the entire time now.
Yep, no, absolutely, and he's probably aware of it. He knows whenever he's in New York, it's coming, and it's going to continue, and he's only there once a year if he stays in the Western Conference, which he will because he's under control for a number of years. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But great stuff as always, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Guys, my pleasure. Have a great night.
You got it. There he is, Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors analyst. And, the Knicks fans, man, they always allow it to happen, right? They just fall right into the trap. They allow it to happen. And they'll be talking about it. Zion, how does he fit in with Barrett, Thibodeau's system, as if Thibodeau's going to be there in 5 years. But,
exactly.
It's just
no, but Jack's right, man. It's you always get that. I've always had that feeling. I started covering the league. I guess Vince Carter's rookie year was my rookie year covering that league, and you always had that feeling that you know the there are bigger forces than you could ever know, conspiring to bring players to the bigger markets at the expense of markets like Toronto.
Yeah.
And Jack called it a scam, and I completely agree with him. And it's and maybe it's you know maybe it's less so for Toronto now that Toronto's a respectable, you know, thanks to Masai Ujiri and Kyle Lowry and a lot of other people, it's a more respectable destination. They don't take the brunt of it as much, but there's a lot of markets that do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's still there. And again, I think there's a lot of validity there when it comes to players being pushed to the Lakers or the Heat, you know,
yep.
or maybe to the Celtics because historically they've gone there. No one goes to the Knicks. They get more oxygen than anyone else, and they get journalists and, you know, ESPN or whoever pushing people that way, but it never falls through. The same thing with the Bulls. Like,
yep.
Chicago is a massive city that offers up incredible talent. Incredible
yeah.
talent. Like, next to New York and maybe L.A., maybe it might be – third in the NBA in terms of just star talent. Anthony Davis was a lock. He was going home. No, he's not. He re-upped in L.A., right? Dwayne
yeah.
Wade, whenever he's coming up, he's leaving. He's going home. No, he's not. Not happening.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like,
you want to talk about a potential empire that needs to be restored in pro sports. How about the Chicago Bulls?
It's the Bulls.
Since Michael Jordan left, right?
Ever since he left, they've been completely
yeah.
irrelevant. They had the
yeah.
couple years there with Rose, you know, who was a local guy. You know, first overall
yep.
from Chicago.
MVP year.
MVP yep. year. They had a 60-win year or whatever. But for the most part, they have been completely irrelevant. And they're the third largest market in the league.
And at the height, they were – at their height, Hayes, they were probably the biggest brand in the sporting universe.
In sports.
That number 23 Chicago jersey
yep.
was a global phenomenon that was worn around the world
absolutely.
Like no other jersey.
Yep, absolutely. As associated with money-making and marketability as any other team in sports.
Yeah.
And it's just gone up in smoke. It doesn't – like
yeah.
now Jordan isn't even associated with them anymore. Like, I don't
not
even
really.
Think – I think of him more with Charlotte, you know, than I do
nice.
With
– yeah. Exactly.
Because
well, he owns
obviously
the place.
He's the owner down there.
Yeah.
You see him there. But like when they
play for the Wizards.
Play with the Wizards. Know? Exactly. You know, it's just Chicago is a wasteland and has been for a long time when it comes to the NBA. And you always hear names connected, but they don't follow through there. Al's Brother coming up with his power rankings, weekly power rankings, courtesy of Al's Brother. He's going to rank the top seven wingers in the Canadian division, starting at seven down to one. There's a lot of talent on the wing up here. Al's Brother has put in his homework. He'll hammer it out, and we'll break it down with him. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
And up on that one, the first star, Al Brother.
Yep, the Frère d'Alain. Here he is, Al's Brother. And Al's Brother's North Division Power Rankings are brought to you by our friends at Dewar, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at Dewar.ca/TO and use code TSN1050 to save 15%. So Dewar.ca/TO, use code TSN1050 to save 15%. The world's most comfortable pants. And there he is, the world's most comfortable man, Al's Brother. Built for comfort. I love it. Good to see you, buddy.
I wish it would be quite interesting if we could do some of these events wearing Dewar jeans. Could you imagine running that 200 in Dewar jeans?
I don't think it would change your time at
well,
all.
They're the performance
brother.
Pants, right?
That's right.
So I feel like it might give me a boost.
It could. If anything, they make you quicker.
Yeah.
If anything, it boosts your time.
It'd be hard to bring my time down. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Feschuk is a glutton for punishment here. He wants you guys to really take this as deep as you can possibly go. And
oh, yeah.
I am going to put a halt right now to the pole vaulting. I don't think either O or I are even capable of lifting our feet more than 3 inches off the ground on a good day, let alone pull ourselves up on a pole over a beam 20 feet in the air.
Right.
I don't think that is going to happen.
Wait a minute yeah. here, Al's Brother. You're the man that gave us the 17-inch vertical. Am I not right?
That is correct.
Well, what do you mean? 3 inches and 17 inches. There's a disconnect there. You're selling yourself short. Hayes and I were just saying earlier in the show, all you need is to commission the best scientists we have available to us right now who aren't working on the pandemic to develop a material for this particular poll that will actually stand up to the punishment of an overdrive combine.
Right.
I just don't know if that material exists. That's all I'm saying.
That's on us to find it, man. We'll send someone out and get it if we have to. The grappler can work on that. And listen, there's a lot of important things going on in the world, but let's not sell ourselves short here. I think there needs to be some prioritization here. We need to get this done because pole vaulting is a part of it. Wrestling might be a part of it. We'll talk. We'll figure it out down the road. We'll get O-Dog will be back tomorrow. We'll see what kind of response he has for this.
All right.
Although I have a feeling I kind of know where he's going to be at with that.
But I think we're both down for that Pinty's option. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think we could make something work there.
I like it. Yeah, Pinty's wrote in, said maybe hot dogs, maybe wings, maybe burgers. I think wings and ribs, like they make the best wings and ribs in the business. Pinty's will hook that up.
Hey, we're here for a wing ranking, are we not?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I like it. I like that idea a lot. All right, there's something to investigate there. We'll get to the bottom of it. But you're here for your power rankings, so this week we're doing the 7 best wingers in the Canadian division, right?
Yeah, and just for clarification on how I did these rankings. So this is based on the 2021 season in general, right? So the best season, the best 7 wingers this year. So we're not going based on name value. It's based on how they're performing this year. And also, true wingers only. So we're not including guys like Drysdale or Nuge or Dubois who have played the wing, like true wingers only.
Okay, I like it. So it's based on, it's basically performance-based rankings, and it's not a projection on who you'd have on your team in 5 years or anything like that. It's simply what you've seen out of the wingers this year, and you are ranking them based on performance. I like it. Al's brother, take it away at number 7.
All right, coming in at number 7, and boy, do I wish Ed Noodles was here for this, to be quite honest with you, because at 7, I've got Zach Hyman of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I love it.
Really hope that he's okay. Obviously, he had that knee on knee last night with Edler, and hopefully that MRI comes back clean. But he's having an unbelievable season. Like all around, he's scoring goals, he's creating offense, and he's been like the most consistent player on the Maple Leafs, maybe one of the most consistent players in the NHL all season long. You couple that with the fact that he has an elite two-way game. He's truly like a threat defensively. And I think that he certainly has been a top 7 winger this season. Is he the best winger? Maybe not, but this year, certainly.
I like it, Al's brother. I'm curious to see who will be omitted. I mean, without knowing where you're going the rest of the list, I'm sure we'll come to someone where we might say, that's a little bit debatable. And I'm also assuming we're going to get to a point where it's largely based on points and goal scoring and all that, where Hyman brings he drags a different category into the mix, right, the way he plays. But with that said, I'm probably not giving him enough credit. He's putting up decent stats.
He's got 33 points, which is more than some other guys who are going to be on this list and some of the guys who didn't make it. Like, I'll tell you, one of the honorable mentions who's not on this list, who he's actually doing better than this year, Matt Tkachuk.
Yes. He's been better than Tkachuk this year. That is indisputable.
He's got more goals than Willie Nylander.
Yep.
Right?
I was going to say, second in the team in goal scoring here. Second on the team in goal scoring, not exactly a chump season.
No.
And by the way, Al's brother, I'm interested. What do you think he's going to be worth? Because at $2.25 million this year, probably one of the best bargains in the league.
100%. And in the future, we'll do a best bargain rankings here. But I think it starts with a 5. Like, I really do think it starts with a 5, whether it's 5 times 5 or 5.5. 6 might be a little rich for me, but certainly I think the days of thinking you could scoop him up for a cheap hometown discount at $4-4.5 million, I think those are long gone.
Well, I think those might only be attainable if it's a longer term deal. I mean, that's another thing you got to consider. He's 29. He's, you know, this is his payday. This is where he's going to make his money in the NHL. But I could see him wanting to stay here, wanting to work it out. I could see the Leafs thinking, let's do kind of a Brody type deal, something like that. And he may say, well, if it's going to be at that cap hit, it's got to be a 7-year deal or an 8-year deal. And that'll test how much they really want to be committed to him because everyone loves Zach Hyman. Everyone understands that the Leafs love him and want to keep him around. Do you want to keep him for 8 years? That's a big gamble to take for a guy who, again, the MRI may factor into this conversation.
Let's
be honest. If he's got serious damage and he's out again, that's probably going to affect his next contract. Knock on wood that it doesn't happen. All right, you got Zach Hyman at 7. These are the 7 best wingers in the North Division this season. Al's brother, is off and running with his rankings. Who do you have at number six?
I've got Tyler Toffoli from the Montreal Canadiens coming at number six, tied for first in goals among all wingers in the North Division with 21, sits second in the entire NHL in goals per 60 behind only Austin Matthews. But eight of those goals have come against Vancouver. So consistency has been a little bit of an issue here when it comes to Toffoli. He gets streaky and he gets hot. And he's really more of a finisher than anything, right? You look at Zach Hyman, he's an all-around player. Toffoli more of just a good bona fide goal scorer. But luckily he's got a bunch of those goals this year, which is helping Montreal win some games. So he comes in at number six. And for a while he was up there with Matthews when it comes to the Rocket race. I think the first like half of the season, he was definitely in that race.
Well, it was the first like 15 games. He had like 9 or 10 goals. And again, it was Vancouver. He was just absolutely terrorizing the Canucks. This is one based on performance this year. I like Toffoli. He is not, you know, if all things are equal and we're starting from scratch, going into a new year starting tonight, Toffoli's not in the top seven, as far as I'm concerned. But I can't take away the season he's had. You got me thinking here. I would put Hyman ahead of Toffoli. Like, Toffoli's, the goals count for something, but Hyman, it's not like he's got two goals on the year.
Yeah.
He's chipping in too, and he's a better all-around player. He's a more effective all-around player than Toffoli. And what did Toffoli get? 4.5? A 5-year deal at 4.5,
4.25, I believe. 4.25 times four.
Yeah. Like, that might be an interesting barometer there for Hyman, where I think he'd say, I want a little bit more. I think you might be looking at 5x5 for Hyman. Like, the Leafs may put that on the table and say, let's try to make something work here. But, okay, you got Toffoli at 6. He had a very good year. No denying that. Who do you have at number 5?
I got Brock Besser coming in at number 5 of the Vancouver Canucks. Pure goal scorer, highly skilled player. He's got 16 goals, 34 points through 38 games this year. And another guy who was competing with Matthews for the goal-scoring race early on in the year, having a really good bounce-back performance as well after a back surgery about a year and a half ago. He's really taken that next step that everyone thought he was going to take, and he's having a solid, solid season. And it's a shame that it was kind of derailed by COVID, because I think that he was really starting to come into his own, still a pretty young cat, but definitely one of the top 5 wingers in this division for me this year.
Yeah, he's had a good year. I can't dispute that. Again, I don't know. Has he been better than Toffoli? Has he been better than Hyman? I mean, I think it's arbitrary at that point. I know you're a Vancouver Canuck diehard.
No, I think he has been. Like, I think he's also – people slight him for, like, not being one-dimensional as just a pure goal scorer. And, yeah, that's obviously his bread and butter. But he's not awful defensively. Like, he will show some effort and back check every now and then. He's not
that's
a complete,
nice.
Not
well,
just a shoot kind of guy.
Well, that's good to hear, Al's brother. Every once in a while.
I see what you're saying. You know. Al's brother, I see where you're going here. I mean, he's a pure goal scorer, but he's got 16 goals. Zach Hyman's got 15.
Yeah.
So how pure is Zach?
Hyman's better. You know? He's been better this year. I'll just say it bluntly. He's been a more effective player than Besser. I'm not saying he's better or more talented, period. Again, I'm not talking about a projection of 5 or 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
You were talking about your guidelines. Simply this year, who's been more effective? Hyman. Hyman's been more effective than Toffoli and Besser.
Whoa.
The only reason you have
anybody...
Hyman at 7 is because you don't want to piss Noodles off.
Maybe. That could have factored into it. I don't want
exactly
to come on the show tomorrow and rip my throat out because I had it too high.
I mean, and the other thing is, can you really put a Canuck on this list, Al's brother, given that their season's been shot behind the ear?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great season.
Like, he's had a good year.
34 points in 38 games, right? Like, he's not
good
just
year.
A goal scorer. This guy's actually can produce some offense. He can pass the puck as well, right? Like, when it comes points per game, he's doing a lot better than both Toffoli and Hyman. So it's not just relying on scoring goals.
Speaking of Hyman, Sheldon Keefe is speaking with the media right now. He said Zach Hyman has a sprained MCL, will miss a minimum of two weeks.
That's not good for my fantasy team, I can tell you that.
Like, he had the ACL. MCL is that's meniscus, I believe we're talking about. And a sprained MCL, minimum 2 weeks. That always is a little bit concerning, too, when they say minimum as opposed to maximum.
Yeah.
Like, when they come in with, hey, you know, he'll be back in the next 10 games. When you start with a minimum, now he's a freak. Zach Hyman's a freak. He's a guy who played on a torn ACL a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Again, I'll get back to what I said at 4 o'clock. Ultimately, all I need from him is game one of the playoffs. You know, be at 100% by game one, which is still a month away, give or take. But minimum 2 weeks is not – it's not as bad as it could have been. If he blew his ACL out again, he's done, right? If he tore his MCL, he's done or whatever. Sprained MCL is probably the best you could possibly hope for.
I think this also now will give them an opportunity once Foligno gets in the lineup, kind of see what that looks like with Foligno up on the top line and Galchenyuk, and see what they look like, because there's always been that thought that if they can put them in the top six and have Hyman on that third line and have that shutdown third line, you can now see over the next couple of weeks, because you have to now because he's not in the lineup, what that looks like and if that is possible in the playoffs. So if you want to have a little silver lining to this injury, that might be it.
Yeah, I was speaking. I was going back and forth. Sorry, Dave, with a surgeon, a buddy of mine, an orthopedic surgeon, and he said if it was MCL, he's like, could be MCL. His read on it was 3 weeks would be low grade, 6 to 10 weeks is higher grade. But this would suggest if they're saying minimum 2 weeks, you know, that doesn't suggest it's like a high grade, real significant sprain. Although maybe it's too early to really tell, but that's, you know, courtesy of my buddy Dan, who's an orthopedic surgeon. He's saying his call would be on that if it is MCL, and he was saying it last night. He's talking like 3 weeks. So,
yeah,
that seems a little bit.
Yeah, I just got a message from a doctor source of mine too, Hayes. And often you were mentioning the meniscus. Often when you get an MCL sprain, it is accompanied by some damage to the meniscus, but who knows if that's actually the case here. So that could be problematic that way. But I think, you know, Ray made a great point earlier in the show, Al's brother. I don't know if you were listening. Yeah. That, you know, the fact that he had this knee blown apart with the ACL last time around 2 seasons ago was actually good, because he's probably still wearing a brace and it's been repaired. And therefore might be stronger than your average, you know, veteran NHLer's knee. So maybe there is some silver lining here.
Yeah, and I should clarify, MCL is not the meniscus. I know that's what I just pointed out.
But no, it's not the meniscus. But the point that was made by this doctor was that sometimes when you get an MCL injury, you can also get some meniscus damage alongside it.
Right.
So it happens. They often happen together, which is why I think you're linking the two.
Yeah, I think that's likely where I was going. But the MCL is, again, it is not the meniscus. I love, people are like, what are you talking about? As if I have...
No, it's
PhD.
Not the meniscus, clearly.
Like, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the internal workings of the knee here.
You did hurt your knee, so I'm sure you learned a thing
or two. I actually blew out my meniscus. That's right? The thing. I you would think I would know that. But, yes, MCL, not the meniscus, but MCL sprain is what Hyman currently has. And out a minimum of 2 weeks, that is courtesy of Sheldon Keefe. So take that for what it's worth. It could have been a lot worse. I think that's the glass half full here. All right, so you got Hyman at 7, Toffoli at 6, Besser at 5. Ranking the top 7 wingers in Canada so far this season, who do you have at number 4?
I feel like based on how this has gone so far, you guys are going to have something to say about this one. But the way that this gentleman has been playing this season, he deserves some respect. And I'm going to go ahead and say that Brady Tkachuk has been a top 4 winger in the Canadian division this year. I love the way that this guy plays. Third in the NHL in, and thank God O's not here, but expected goals, which means he's creating a lot. I know he hates that a lot, but it means that he's creating. And a lot of those have been of high danger variety. Just 14 goals on the season, which isn't as much as these other guys, but I think that's just due to bad puck luck. Like, when you have that many opportunities and it's just not going into the back of the net, I think as he matures and as his team matures, this kid's going to be an absolute beast of a player. You factor the fact that he leads the NHL in hits as well, so he's got that two-way game, that edge to him.
Yep.
I think he's a future captain in this league and for the Ottawa Senators, and this is just the first year where he's really putting his stamp on the league, in my opinion.
He's noticeable every single night. I love him as a player, too. I think there's an element of projection in your ranking here because of what you just said. You think he's going to get there. But I love his play, and I think he has been highly effective this year. I'm not going to fight you on that one, Al's brother. Shocked.
Hey, Christ.
Hayes, yeah. Hayes, we do have to, small matter of protocol here. Is the show etiquette that it's a fine or a suspension for mentioning the phrase expected goals?
That's usually a fine, but in this case, when he's really trying to sell it, suspendable.
Here's the thing. I don't have tape and film to like show these guys doing these cool things.
Right.
So the only way for me to really explain what these players are doing is by stats and like analytics, right?
Yep,
if I had the film and had the tape and short some clips, then I could show you guys. But
I like it,
I have to
brother.
Go through the stats in order to get my points
across.
You're
not wrong. You're always informed. I like it. All right, who do you have at number 3? Top 7 wingers in the country this year.
I got Kyle Connor coming in at number 3, the winger for the Winnipeg Jets. And I think that's probably going to be consensus, the top 3 guys here. But probably the best pure goal scorer among the wingers within this division, I would say, at least in my opinion. He's got 21 goals on the year. He can finish as good as anyone else. And I just, the fact that he's only 23 years old actually baffles me. When I was looking up his stats and what he's done this year just to you know, get it done, I was like, 23? I feel like this guy has been in the NHL and has been producing at this high level in the NHL for like 4 or 5 years, which means he's been a star in this league. Or at least a very elite player.
He's been
player.
A name, yeah, well-known yeah. product. Probably doesn't get enough love, the Wells brother.
No, like, for like 3 years.
Yeah, no, Connor, like, he came out of Michigan, American guy, so up here playing in Canada, didn't get the name recognition that he probably should have. Was it part of the Islanders trade with Edmonton, remember? That was supposed to be the Oilers' pick, mm-hmm. I believe, when they traded for Griffin Reinhardt.
That was Barzal.
Was it Barzal? You're right, yeah. It was Barzal. You're right, it was Barzal.
But he's
but
in
Connor
that trade.
Was on the board.
Yeah.
I believe. Connor, I think, was on the board. Maybe I'm thinking of Boston when they had 3 picks in a row. I think that's what I'm getting
yeah.
to. If Barzal was on the board and Connor was on the board, I think Shabbat was on the board.
He would have been. Besser would have been on the board in that
yeah,
draft.
Yeah, Besser was on the board. They yeah. didn't take any of them. They took 3 other players who, you know, are decent players enough, but not to this extent. Okay, you got Connor at 3. Who do you have at number 2?
We're going to keep to Winnipeg and go with Nikolaj Ehlers. Yep. This guy's having an unbelievable season, 20 goals on the year, averaging a point per game. And he's really broken out this year. Like, he's had a couple of really good seasons, and I'd say that he's been a good player. This year, he's elevated his game to being an elite player in the league. I absolutely love what he's doing this year, and it's consistent. And consistency is something that brings somebody from good to elite, and that's what Ehlers has done. And that's why he comes in as the number 2 winger in the North Division for myself.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's had an absolutely exceptional year, and I think it puts it on a tee for Mitch Marner, I'm assuming, being number 1.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Potential Hart candidate, Mitch Marner, probably not going to get it, but I mean, he's up there. And he's
been great.
Easily the best. Like, you could argue some of these guys, you could argue, you know, Besser, you can argue Tkachuk, maybe even Toffoli. There's no argument from anybody that Mitch Marner is the best winger in this division. He's not the Robin to the Batman of Matthews. They're both Batman. Like, they both
yeah,
are.
I agree. Well, I mean, that's what they've built themselves into is a tandem where I think Matthews brings a little bit more of that marquee element because he scores and because he's bigger and plays up the middle of the ice. But Marner is thoroughly entertaining. He's thoroughly effective. He plays every single night, every night.
He's a franchise
he plays
guy.
A lot. He's absolutely a franchise player. He's an exceptional player, and he's made it, right? Like, he and Matthews made it, and it's their league now, and it's they're along for the ride. So I like it. You got Marner at 1, Ehlers at 2, Connor 3, Brady Tkachuk at 4, Besser 5, Toffoli 6, Hyman 7. So no Matthew Tkachuk, no Blake Wheeler, no William Nylander. And speaking of William Nylander, apparently he was late for a meeting today, and Sheldon Keefe initially thought he would not play tomorrow night, but now he may play because Mikheyev could potentially be out of the lineup based on some injury that they're not willing to reveal at this point. So that'll be interesting. Where, do you go with the code, or do you go with the necessity here if you're Sheldon Keefe? Not a great look for Nylander.
Especially after you just threatened to give the rest of the team COVID, you know, causing the hugest scare of the season by, you know, being put on the protocol list after you had a close contact. This is not a good week for Willie Nylander.
No, it's not. So we'll see what happens. And it sounds like Nick Foligno will join the Leafs in Winnipeg on Wednesday. First full day with the club on Thursday, and then may play on the weekend.
Nice.
So we'll come back and get back to that. Great stuff, Al's brother.
Thank you.
As always, man, we'll catch you later in the week, as we always do.
There he is.
Al's brother and his power rankings. We'll come back and wrap up a busy afternoon, tee up a busy night in the sports world. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so news has come in on Zach Hyman. It is a sprained MCL, minimum 2 weeks. And Jonas Siegel just tweeting out that would put the timeline around beginning of May. They'd still have about 5 games left. I'd be willing to bet that won't be the case. I don't think he comes back in 2 weeks. I think he probably takes a little bit more time than that. I think ideally you get him in for a game or two, but you're not going to rush him back. There's no need to. It's all about load management at this point. It's about making sure you're at 100% come opening night of the playoffs. And
yeah.
That news has somewhat overshadowed the fact that Freddie Anderson in Vancouver practicing today would appear that maybe he's getting a little bit closer.
Wow. First time in a month, Hayes, that he actually took shots from his teammates. So that's
right.
Something.
Yeah, that's holding some sort of substance anyway. And the new guys, including Nick Foligno, will join the team on Wednesday in Winnipeg. May play Thursday night, if not certainly by the weekend. So a lot of Leaf content this week. We're looking forward to it. Jays back in action tomorrow night. Raptors back in action on Wednesday night. It's been fun, Dave, as always, man. We appreciate you doing this, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
You got it. There he is, Dave Feshchuk of the Toronto Star. Owen Noodles will be back tomorrow. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.